Yeah, I was assuming everybody would be back by now, but we'll let the guys trickle in. So, a couple of things. First, just the Shmooze was sponsored by a couple of guys. There's a lot of people we were talking to a small chaver earlier about. Just you hear stories that people are sick, you're a fushlema, and two things. So, I have a Talmud, Josh Packer. I don't know if you guys. You haven't met him, if anybody knows him, but with Josh Packer, sponsored, thank you, tonight's shmooze, that Kol Chayli Yisrael should have a Refuah Shleima, and it comes from the depths of his heart. It's a real bracha. And Yosef Mordechai Kohen, who's here with us for Shabbos, he told me it's public. He told me I could publicize it. He told me people know. So he is his older sister, first guy's mom. He's the oldest, but his two sisters. The older of the two sisters, she had heart surgery this year. She shouldn't go to Israel, right? No. And the younger sister was admitted to the hospital today to she's in line for a heart transplant. So Hashem should give her a refuah shleima. The younger sister who's waiting for a heart transplant, her name is Esther Bela Bas Yonina Tovet Cyril. And the older sister who had this year a heart transplant is Miriam Chana Bas Yonina Tovet Cyril. Hashem should send them Refuah Shleima. So Shar Chol Yisrael. Amen. Okay, so we know the Maisa Chevrolar Makos. So we know the Maisa Makos from Makos that the guy kills Derech Yerida, Shogeg, and then he has to lunus to the Ermiklot, he has to run to the Ermiklot, and the Kael Hadam chases him down. And then we don't have in Jewish, we don't have prison. There's no prison. There's Misa, there's Malkos, there's Kare, it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. We have consequences. Immediately, Hashem is also Hurachum, Hashem waits. But we have consequences. There's no prison. So here it says an interesting punishment to this crime. That when they save him from the family, they shivo so aedel ir mikloto, and they bring him to the ir miklot. So he sits in the Ur Miklot until the Kohen Gadol dies. Very strange punishment. Very strange tonight to the punishment. He sits in the Ur Miklot stam. Ur Miklot is a most of them, majority, was the ear of the Levim. Stam, it's not the biggest punishment. It's not prison. Don't think it's prison. It's open air prison. With a lot of Jews. You know, imagine such a concept. Open air prison with a lot of Jews. And this tonight, this condition that Hashem made, that it's totally on the Kohen Gadol's death, seems very arbitrary. So I know we learn Makos. And what you learned in Makos is the Gemara says, there was a cause and effect, or a partial cause and effect. There was a responsibility here. L'fishahaya lo l'kohen gadol l'hispalel shalotera takola zuli Yisrael v'chayav. So Kohen Gadol has an achrayas to care about everybody. I had a private conversation with one of the chevra. It'll stay private, but it's the part to publicize is an unbelievable part. And we were talking about, you hear all day, every day, like I just said, if you heard a couple more people, you could put on your Tehillim list. You could add it to Tehillim chats. We had a Motzei Shabbos, this name that was floating around, you know, this girl from camp, whatever, you know, not clear what happened. And you could be busy your whole day, learning Mishnayos for everybody's grandfather who was Nifter, and saying Tehillim on every Tehillim chat, 81 through 90. And if you open the sugya, if you open the door, open the box of Chayalim, so Chayalim, Mamish, that alone, Ein L'Davar Sof. for the guys who were injured, the guys who were in Lebanon, the guys who were in Gaza, the guys who, it's an Ein L'Davar Sof. So I had a great conversation with a couple of chavra today. What's the Sof? And I'm not just talking about time constraints. I don't mean just I have limitations. I'm talking about time constraints means I really don't care. This is meaningless to me, but I officially feel obligated to get involved. But I have to time management. Okay, we're not talking about that. That's silly. But the serious conversation is mental, psychological capacity, emotional capacity. You know, I'm not talking about saying names. We're not reading here Esther Bela Bas Yonina Tovet Cyril. We're talking about real people. And if there's a shayachus, if there's a connection, which there always should be, with real people, so there's a person has an emotional capacity. So how far reaching does your emotional capacity go? So Kanira, one thing we learned. A Kohen Gadol's emotional capacity, he needs to be davening for nobody in his generation in the country should kill Bishogeg Derech Yerida. Like, you know, the most far-fetched, unfathomable scenario, the Kohen Gadol has to cover that breadth of tefillah. Okay, everybody else needs to figure out where is their emotional capacity and therefore their halachic responsibility, shkafic responsibility. But the Kohen Gadol covers everybody. So that we know. That we learned the Gemara Makos. But then Rashi quotes a Sifri. And Rav Yerucham, if I never spoke about this with you guys, it's kedai to say it here at one time in your life. Rav Yerucham is one of the less than handful of Sfarim that I learn. And it's I love it, and I encourage everybody to try it at some point. I love it because, and I say this with respect and awe mamish, most of the time he doesn't say anything. Most of the time he just points and just says, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And usually you didn't hear that. And then he just points and he says, did you hear that? And you're like, wow, I really missed that. And so Yerucham, I saw the Rashi, but I needed Yerucham to point to it. I'll tell you what Rashi says, and I was Zocha today, I got a good point from Yerucham. So Rashi says a different shot from a Sifri. He says, we have to separate the Kohen Gadol from the Rotzeach, because the Kohen Gadol is Bo Lahashro Shechina B'Yisrael. Kohen Gadol is coming to bring Ruchnias to Klal Yisrael. That's his mission. That's his job. Ulaharich Yimeim. And the more Ruchnias, the more life. Barotzeach, and this guy, even Bishogeg. Barotzeach, Bol Lesalik Es Hashchina Miyisrael. He did a Maiseh that created Richuk. They're opposite forces. Kohen Gadol is doing Kirov, trying to bring down the Shechina, trying to spread Ruchnias into the world. Throughout Klal Yisrael. And the Rotzeach is pulling in the other direction, the Shechina away from Klal Yisrael. U'mekatzir simei achayim, because then that leads to a shortage of life. Eino kedai. This is, Rav Yerucham needed to point to that. Eino kedai, sheyehei lefnei kohen gadol. These two people can't live together. You saw the Rashi, you will see the Rashi, you'll breeze through the Rashi. It says, Yav Yerucham, an unbelievable concept, an unbelievable idea. In, like I said, we don't have prisons, but we have things in Klal Yisrael, consequences. We have repercussions to people's actions. We have like cheirim. Somebody has to go chutz l'machane. Metzora, he speaks Lashon Hara, he acts in an uncivilized way in certain areas of life. So if you act uncivilized, you can't be among civilization. You speak Lashon Hara, you really hurt people. Okay, so it's time to, you gotta move out. You gotta move out. But that's Al Tanai, that he does tshuva, and he learns how to respect people, he learns how to live healthy, properly, among civilization, and then you bring him back in. But Golus, Golus is not like that. Golus is not, it's not a rational, it's not a reasonable leave until. It's tied yad biyad with the Kohen Gadol. And so Rav Yerucham says, he compares it to the following, that till today, I never understood. And he says the following. He says it's similar to Gemara in Ksubis, you all know. Everybody knows this Gemara. Until today, I'm so proud we're going to have a new interpretation, which is the Emissa interpretation. Until today, you heard a Gemara that says, Kol Ador B'chutzlar, it's Kamisha Ein Lo Aloka. And this becomes like Zionist propaganda and then anti-Zionist and the whole Yom HaTzmaut Torah, you know? Everybody gets very excited about this during the flag-waving days. If you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's as if you have no God. And says Rav Yerucham like this, an unbelievable vort. You're putting this guy in an ear surrounded by Leviyan. Machane Leviya is much holier than Machane Yisrael. He's a regular Joe. He's a regular guy. And you know, Frank, Harry, Larry, Tim, Bob, he just lives down the block. Regular guy. You know, he has a construction job, he's a plumber. He works 9 to 5, goes home, tucks his kids into bed. You know, hits a Mincha Maariv at night, watches a couple shows, a game, FIFA, whatever. Regular guy. Now he gets a promotion. He gets to go to Machane Leviya. Unbelievable. What's the punishment over here? So points Rav Yerucham, and he says he was distanced permanently, and he can't fight it, he's excluded and distanced permanently from Machane Shechina, from the Kohen Gadol. He was meruchak. He became distanced. How much distanced? Nothing. Nothing you would feel, nothing tangible. He became distanced from the Kohen Gadol, and now he can only live in Machane Leviya. He can only live in the second tier. Second tier is the holiest tier. It's Kodesh Kedoshim. But he can't live in the highest Kodesh Kedoshim by the Kohen Gadol. That punishment, says Rashi, is the worst punishment you could give to him for the worst crime. He's a Ratzeach. He ended life. He removed the Shechina from Klal Yisrael. What do you do to him? Richuk. How far is Richuk? A millimeter. The distance of Richuk, says Rav Yerucham, from this Rashi, is a millimeter. We hear only a few days, and the camp moms, I don't know if you noticed, Friday night at the Tisch, first of all, you forgive me for the voice. I know it's painful to listen, because I have to listen to, you know, some of you talk like this. It's painful for me to listen. And I can't imagine how painful it is for you to listen. I apologize. But this is a product of what happened here Friday night, Shabbos, you know, in the dining room. And over Shabbos, a lot of us lost our voice. And when it was mamish knocking over here, so I don't know, at the end, like the third wave, it's Gilgulim. By the third wave, there were a few ladies standing outside. So I asked the ladies when I went outside if they needed something. They told me they're camp moms, and they came here because the Nitzis live upstairs. We discovered Friday night, and they came here because it was so late at night that they were nervous that the Nitzis were crying. They couldn't go to sleep. So they came to take care of the Nitzis because they come the first week of camp. I told them my response to them was, I'm very sympathetic. I was a Nitzi counselor 25 years ago over here. I remember my kids were crying every night. I told them I'm so sympathetic. You know, I'll get one of the guys. Andrew's going to go tuck them in. Avi's going to sing them a lullaby. We'll do a whole good night, a whole tuck-in matzav over here with the chevra. Chavrusas, we'll set it up. But when they were talking to me, really what I wanted to tell them, but it was, you know, not the right place, not the right time. forget the Nitzis. I'm homesick. You worry about the Nitzis? You gotta worry. I'm like, I call my wife every day. I'm like, get me out of here. You know, it's a great place. I fell in love with this place like this. There's nothing not to love. I'm having a great time. Shabbos was Leila Leila. Shabbos was tremendous. You know, if we're hearing reports, I can't tell you. I got message after message after message, in person, on text, from all parts, all camps, from Israel it came even. We heard what you guys did. This Shabbos in Morasha was, nobody ever could believe such a thing. Like Shai spoke Shal Shittis. Shai said, you know, he knew the tish won't work. He knew the dancing won't work. He knew, very positive guy, you know? Optimistic guy. He knew not everything's not gonna work. And then it was like one fireworks, one explosion after the next. It was mom's explosions after explosions was going on. And Afop, in spite of all the beauty that we experienced over Shabbos, I'm calling my wife and I'm telling her, like, I, daddy, come home. What's going on over here? I miss my wife. I miss my kids. I want to go home. I'm on a mission here, but I feel very homesick. And I'm very happy here. Extremely happy. My wife knows. I'm thrilled. My wife knows the whole year I look forward to this. This is like my Gan Eden over here. I love it here. But when I get here, all of a sudden I feel very homesick. Really. When I was a little kid, never homesick. I was a big kid, for sure never homesick. Now I'm a very, very big kid, and I'm like I'm a baby. You know, you could count the tears on my pillow. My pillow, I go every night. It's like, what, I have to change my pillow bag every night. It's mamish with tears. It's very hard for me to be away from home. I really struggle with this. And I call my wife every day. I'm texting her throughout the day. We FaceTime. She's still here. She's Kilo here. I took her to the carnival just now. We went on a Ferris wheel, I feel like, together. She's mamish here. But the little richuk, it's just a little richuk. The little distance causes me so much pain. And I feel this genuinely. This little distance that I have with my family causes me nonstop, can't get it out of my head, obsessive, compulsive thoughts of pain. I can't be away. And this little richuk, points Rav Yeruchim, is the terrible punishment, the worst punishment for the worst crime of Ritzicha. That now he can't access the greatest place, the greatest person, the Kohen Gadol. That's a richuk. And then the rest, I was going to tell Rav Yeruchim. I was about to, we talk. We mamish talk. And I was going to tell Rav Yeruchim, Rav Horn said tonight, he said that, I was laughing in my head, because he said, you can't have a Rebbe that only he talks and you don't talk. I said, great, because I also talk. I talk to dead people all the time. It doesn't bother me. I went to, me and Sarah Schneer, I went to Poland just to talk to Sarah Schneer. She spoke back. I'm delirious? You think so? I don't. I talked to Rav Yeruchim. So I was going to tell Rav Yeruchim when he told me this earlier today, I was going to tell him, that's an unbelievable thing. That was a great, I love the point. But I was going to tell him, can I tell you something? Mida tova maruba. Mida tova maruba alfi alafi. The good outweighs the negative by 2,000. Mida tova maruba by 500. You do the math, 500. Mida tova maruba. And so if I could talk to my wife, and I could see my wife, and I could text my wife, and I could go afilu, play the shoot the gun to win the whatever mushroom thing we got shkayach over here, this whatever the new near Talmud that we're gonna hang up over here, and I was playing with my wife over there, and I was on the Ferris wheel with my wife over there, but this small richuk, and how much pain that causes me. So I was about to tell Rav Yeruchim, Mida tova maruba, what about, and don't, I'm not talking about in the way people talk in Lashon B'nai Adam, what about Kirov? I'm not talking about Kirov, Kilo, the way people talk Kirov. I'm talking about literally the word Kirov. If Richuk, a little Richuk, causes me so much pain, how much pleasure will I get Richuk? You told me, There's a maise, I forgot who said this maise. It's a famous Musser maise. That somebody, he asked older men, the way I was told, again, if I'm botching the maise, I wasn't prepared. I'm just, you know, it popped in my head just now. So there's a maise, I'll get the punchline right. That somebody went to the mashgiach, to the rabbi, to the rav, and he said, I want to learn, and my wife doesn't let me learn, and I don't know what to do. So he said, go tell your wife, you went to the doctor, and he said, you know, chas v'shalom, shouldn't be, but you went to the doctor, and he said, you have a terminal illness, you're not going to make it, you have a week to live. And your wife's going to, it's going to be terrible. The Hilm chats, and then six days in, go to your wife, and tell her, Hashem made a miracle. I'm going to leave the world, I'm going to die, but he said for an hour a day, he's going to bring me back. And I'm going to come home an hour a day. And the wife was thrilled. An hour a day, unbelievable. So he went, base medrash, whole day, Yom Valayla. He came home an hour a day, like, oh, unbelievable, so happy. A little Kirov. You bring my wife for 10 minutes over here, oh my God. I feel like, you know, we'll do it together. Mehera, listen to Mehera for everybody over here. I'll be in Gan Eden over here. It'll be unbelievable. I won't stop singing. I'll be the happiest guy. You know, show me a Nietzsche camper with a SpongeBob ice cream, I'm gonna look so much happier than that kid. I'll be the happiest kid in the whole camp. And a little Kirov, just a drop Kirov. A drop Kirov. And now let's talk serious. Let's talk serious for a second. When Ari was talking this afternoon, Stam, I love everything he says. He doesn't need my eskoma. Everything he says by me is from Sinai Mamish. Why is it from Sinai? Why is it from Sinai? Because I had a little argument today with somebody. We were talking about he wanted to get out like a sheet with Mara Makomos. I told him, stop, please stop. Don't do this to me. Please stop. Please stop. Talk to Mar. Talk. Communicate. Talk, Mara Makomos. Talk. You want to read? I know how to read. I don't need you to read to me. I'm not interested in reading to me. Talk. Learn the Mara Makom. Learn it. Feel it. Enjoy it. Take it all in. And then talk it to me. Speak it out to me. From you. I don't need to paper on... When I was learning Barav Goldvich, when I was a bacher in Misora, I remember a guy came over there with like a printed out Mara Makomos, and it was Dafka because it was the font was Times New Roman. Rav Goldvich said, please keep this out of the base medrash. If it's not what it looks like on the page, he says he wants to see a Gemara like a Gemara. He doesn't want to see Times New Roman Gemara. Rav Goldvich wouldn't let it in the... I don't know what's today. That was 20 years ago. He wouldn't let it in the base medrash. He said a Gemara needs to be not aerial font. You need to smell a Gemara, to drool on a Gemara, to wipe off the hair left on the, you know, you have a few geshmak hairs you have to push out of the Gemara. That's a Gemara. It's black on off-white. It's black on yellow a lot of times, geshmak. Not black, when you have a black on white, that's not Gemara. Gemara should be black on yellow. That's a Gemara. So I said to this guy, Kirov. Kirov means, I'm not talking Kirov, I'm talking Kirov. Kirov means, like Ivri said, you just introduced me to what made me happy. I found just now what made me happy, what made me feel connected. Kirov means I took one step closer, one toe, one inch, one centimeter closer. I feel I got closer. I feel I got a drop closer. I don't like, I'm talking just to us. You know, I'm not talking I can't talk to campers. I put you to task. You guys are amazing at that. I would never do it. I'm not good at it. That's your job. I just talk to you, but I want to talk to you the truth. I want to talk to you the truth. To get the campers jumping and clapping and singing, that's not Kirov. That's hype. It's enjoyable, it's fun. It's a Ferris wheel. It's a great time, it's a Ferris wheel. But, if the chevra, and I'm testifying that it was, I'm telling you what was, not what should be, what was. if the chaver is doing it mitoch kirvas halev, there's a kirvas halev and a kirvas halavavos, that there's a feeling that we are in this together. We have a mission together. We're trying to accomplish something together. I'm not trying to get you to dance and jump and sing and like convince you that that's Judaism. No, let's not play the marketing scam of Kiruv. We're not playing scams over here. Tell them if they're religious, they'll be happy. Tell them if they're religious, they'll never have problems in their life. Tell them if they're religious, life will be perfect. No, stop lying. Stop lying. If you're religious, life is also demanding. If you're religious, life also has challenges. Stop playing make-believe Kiruv that if you're religious, then like it's la-la land. Life is a... Morasha, life is a carnival. That's endless. That's endless. But life in the real world, I don't care how religious you are, it's not going to be a carnival. Not going to be a carnival. But it'll be like Ari said, oh, you're going to feel in a different place. You're going to feel not happy. Happy, I don't know what happy means. You're going to feel simcha. You're going to feel shleimus. Simcha mitol shleimus. You're going to feel something's happening to you. Something's changing within you. You're developing. You're growing. You're moving. We're moving. And then when you do that to these kids, and we did. And we did. We moved this whole place. On Shabbos, this whole place moved. A few inches, a few feet. I don't know. You know, FIFA, I think there's a big World Cup tonight. The Chevra is watching. So we talk now meters, whatever the metric will be. But this camp moved. The people moved this Shabbos. It wasn't Kirov like the scam. It was Kirov means the rechuk of the pain that we feel in the 3 weeks that he distances himself from us. We did this Shabbos, and it only starts, it only gets off the ground because it's happening to you. It has to first happen to you. And if it's happening to you, that there's a Kirov, I'm talking a centimeter of a Kirov, I just got closer. It just became more real to me. I just felt something's in my life changing. I commented, I'm going to say something really not nice. I would have a half minute to like turn off the recording, but in my mood, I'm comfortable, you know, saying this publicly. I was walking with a few chaver afterwards. I'm not going to say the name, but the Rav who spoke here earlier today, he spoke unbelievable, beautiful Torah, as always. But I was looking also from a different angle. When I was in YU, he was the coolest guy. You see him, he's like 6'2", blonde guy, athletic, very good looking. You know, you cut off a few, some of the beard. He's still very good looking. But without the beard, Allah is kama wa kama. You know, it's like Aladdin with or without the beard. It's a different Aladdin. He was this great, and he still is great looking, but he was a young, strapping lad, good looking, handsome guy, athletic, cool, geschmack. And I would go to his house. First of all, he was the best guy in the Beis Medrash. He was the top guy in the YU Beis Medrash. So I revered him. Mamash revered him. He's like 5 years older than me. He was in the Kollel. I revered him. And knock from them, more, a lot more. He invited me always for Shabbos, and me and my chevri went for Shabbos. I was like schmack, chilling with the boys, like what Ari was, you know, you say for Breng, I say chilling with the boys. It was a real frat house, really, frat house, le'ela lu'ela, frat house like that, for Breng. And it was unbelievable. And now I was sitting over there looking at him, and I've seen him the last few years, and now he's like, he's a real Rav. He's a real, like, you saw a major Talmud Chacham. You saw a real Rebbe. And I saw two people. I was seeing double vision. I saw a real Rebbe, major Talmud Chacham, Mashpia, a tremendous person. And I saw this chiller, cool guy, 24 years old, with the boys. And I was thinking, when did that happen? It's like sometimes you hear when people call the Rosh, I wouldn't do it. People call the Rosh his original name. Whoever like that who knew the Rosh. When did that happen? When did the A name become the Rosh? When did that happen? And what I saw is people moved. And to see people moved is exhilarating. When you see it a centimeter, it was this Shabbos, every kid, you saw it. I don't have to convince anybody. Every kid over here moved at least a centimeter, if not a yard, if not 20 yards. The whole camp moved. For sure, it was a first down. That we could testify. For sure, we covered 10 yards. For sure, it was a first down. And that was, Shabbos is not one day. Shabbos is much bigger than a day, but it was one Shabbos. And it accumulates, and it compounds, and it adds up. And every small kir of halavavos, every small action, every small behavior. I said something. I'm talking too much already. I don't even know what the schedule is tonight anymore. I said something that I knew, vaday, and don't take me up on this. I said something this last week that was a gzeira she'ein atzibur yachol lamod bo. Now that I make gzeira, if it's not shaya for the zibur. I said a meshugana thing. I said, first of all, I tried to cover it up. I said, 8:32 city time barchu. I did a real Jewish kind of maneuver. 8:32 city time barchu. That's when we're down in chakras. I was nervous I would get stoned over here. And then like guys chap, what I meant was, if you're being honest with yourself, that means 7:15 chakras. And I thought there would be a rebellion. I really thought the chevra is gonna like put out tents outside and signs and, you know, a real revolution's gonna happen. And what happened the next morning? Everybody came to chakras. And what happened the next morning? Everybody came to chakras. And what happened this morning? Everybody came to chakras. And I have a big prize for you. I wasn't planning on this, but Chaim just told me we won a big prize, Chris Chaim. And tomorrow morning, it's a rainy day, we got the base medrash. The latest I could do it, it's my Kriya Shema, 7:57 chakras, mazel tov. But how is it shayach? I told Chevra, Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, guys, just coming, you know, it's a summer, we're hanging out, we're having a good time, and now you got to dive in 7:15 in the morning. How could I tell you that? It's not nice. It's really not nice. And what happened? The Chevra moved. Nobody blinked. I didn't hear one complaint. Everybody moved. And I made a big request on day one, please, no complaints, only simcha, geshmak, positive. And I said, I'm going to destroy the whole thing now. It's all going to fall down. The whole building's going to collapse. And what happened? 7:15 chakras, and the guys, 7:05, the whole chevra is here. And last night, I saw who was here till 2 a.m. Last night, the chevra was here till 1, and a lot of chevra till 2. So I said to myself this morning, 7:15 chakras, we were here till 2 a.m. Like, okay, let's come back to reality. And then what happened? The chevra moved. I was here a little bit early. I give him a lot of credit. Avi was here. He was the last one out. He was with the broom. Mamish picking up every piece of lint. He didn't know that the international crew would come in later today. But Avi holds himself to be part of the international swimming team over here. So last night, as part of the international team, you know, honor of FIFA, I don't know what he's doing exactly, but he was sweeping, you know, him, Gafriel, a few chevra, big tzaddikim, sweeping every last piece of lint after everybody, you know, smeared all the pizza on the floor. And then I came, I was here, you know, early, and who comes in first? Avi. And I said, first, Avi's Carpathians, not a Chiddush. But I said, the chevra's moving. The chevra's moving. The camp is moving. And you feel the centimeter, the foot, the yard of Kiruv. That's real Kiruv. And Kiruv means we're coming closer. We're coming closer. And why? 3 weeks. Only during the 3 weeks. 3 weeks is a skula that while the rest of the world sits in darkness and talks dark Torah during the 3 weeks, by us over here, it's Vayihi Or. There's a hidden light during the 3 weeks, and I really believe that we captured a major chunk of that R. Every summer, we hold it. I took it, I told the we took a few U-Hauls from Guilford. I told the U-Haul guys, I said, make sure to bring the R from the 3 weeks. They put it in the U-Haul. Maybe they left a little in Guilford, I don't know, but it came straight right here. Lake Como, Lakewood, whatever this place is called over here, and the light from the 3 weeks made the place move. And the Kirov Besoch, every lathe, every one of our lathes, you feel it's moving. And from that, like Ari said, you feel a simcha, you feel a shlemus. I'm comfortable with myself, I'm happy with myself, I'm proud of myself, I feel like I'm accomplishing, productive in my way, productive in a real way, and then the whole camp moves with you. Unbelievable. So big shkayach for Shabbos, when most of us, when our voices are gone, that means good things are happening. Great things are happening. And you think you're wrong. You think you guys live in Olam Hazeh. You think that there was prizes being given out, and Ferris wheels and teacups and hot dogs on sticks because some kind of day yesterday. It doesn't even make sense. The day was yes, Ma Kesher. You know why there's a carnival? Because the place is celebrating. What's happening here? It's a big celebration. I had a suffering tonight. It's a 3 weeks, but it's a major celebration. So he says, Shiloh, you let a dance at a CM on the 3 weeks? We practice, yes. So I took that water gun, you know, and I lost the Chaim, who's better than me. But I took the water guys, let's go. We're celebrating. The place is moving. I don't know how much money. I estimated $50,000. That was my guess. I have no idea. But that's a $50,000 seum. For what happened this Shabbos, that's not less than a $50,000 seum. So we invested big. No, not my money. But we invested big. And we celebrate. There's movement. There's Kirov Halavavos. And it's working. I'm telling you, I give everybody a big kiss. Big hug, big kiss. Put on the chat a big kiss emoji. You should feel a real kiss. A real kiss. And it should go weiter, weiter, le'elo, le'elo, shkayach, shkayach. We'll have Chazar Shir. We'll have, obviously, it's late also, but Chazar Shir.